All right, welcome to the Three Stretch here on GoBucksFan.com, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I am Bobby Fenton. As we speak, 2 weeks until the NFL draft on a Thursday night in Nashville, and it can't get here soon enough if you're like me and have been seeing mock draft after mock draft after mock draft just rolling across your Twitter feed or your internet surfing provider, whatever it is you do. I'm ready for the actual draft, and certainly nothing is happening at this point. We have all of the combine issues, all of the pro days, all of the interviews. I mean, everything's pretty done. Anything you might hear about people shooting up or down draft boards has only to do with the things people are saying to each other and not with the actual performance of any players on or off the field, because there isn't any performance going on right now. So the hay's in the barn, so to speak, and yet we've got 2 weeks to go. We'll talk about some potential strategies today on the show. No fewer than 8 players have been mocked, even though I hate the way that word has turned into a verb. No fewer than 8 players have been mocked to the Bucks in just the most recent spate of mock drafts, and they update these things every 20 minutes, even though, again, nothing changes. So we'll go into all that today. We'll go into some other things around the league. The Bucks preseason schedule is out. The regular season schedule probably won't be for another week or two, and that it'd probably be the week before the draft. Like, the draft's on Thursday, maybe earlier that week, although they never tell you exactly what day until like the day before. But we'll talk about all these things on the show today. If you want to get a hold of me, it's very simple and easy to do. I love hearing from you guys. My email address, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameday at yahoo.com. And on Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameday. The Free Stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Let me tell you what they're doing at Bill Curry Ford, okay? So every week I come on here and tell you about what a great place to buy a car it is, and that part is always true. You can go on there to the website, BillCurryFord.com, that's C-U-R-R-I-E, and you can see all the inventory. They have the transparent online pricing. You get the roadside assistance. You get the oil changes. Everything comes with when you buy the car for the first year. You get all that stuff. You just bring it in. They do it. Like, it's a great deal in and of itself, okay? And that, again, would always be true. But now, if you go in there before the draft, okay, the draft's April 25th. It's 2 weeks from today, that night. If you go in there anytime before the draft starts that night and buy a car, you can see General Manager Sean Sullivan, and he's going to give you a pair of Bucks season tickets. Like, literally, if you need a car right now and you were thinking about getting Bucks season tickets, one of my favorite words, because I like to gamble, parlay. You can parlay this. Go get your car at Bill Curry Ford, which, one, you'll save money on anyway, and two, now you don't have to even buy the Bucks season tickets. You get two of them from Sean Sullivan, the general manager at Bill Curry Ford. So reach out to Sean, reference the Joe Bucks Fan offer, mention the website, mention me, mention the Free Stretch, whatever you got to do. Go check them out. Again, the website, BillCurryFord.com, the actual place. Bill Curry Ford is on Dale Mabry, very easy to get to, right by the stadium, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry on the east side of the road there, just north of Hillsboro. $2 season tickets for free, done if you buy a car there, okay? There's no like other things. It's cut and dry. That's all you got to do. So I strongly suggest, if you're even thinking about looking at vehicles right now and you're a Bucks fan, which you probably are if you're listening to this show, you can, again, parlay those two things into a real nice package that's going to make your life better all the way through the coming football season. And there's a lot of ways that our lives could get better through the coming football season. And maybe some of those things will be determined by what the Bucks do on draft night. Like I said, you know, we've got the draft here, and I'm going to read you the names again that have been mocked to the Bucks just in the past week alone. Devin White, of course, is the most popular one. A lot of people think the Bucks will go that direction, draft the LSU linebacker. He seems to be an ideal fit as the quarterback of a Todd Bowles defense. And even though a linebacker hasn't been drafted in the top 5 since, I believe, Aaron Curry like 10 years ago, a lot of people, the majority of the people, seem to be thinking this is the way the Bucks will go. Fine. Ed Oliver, I'd love him. He's in there. Josh Allen, he's cooled off a little bit. Only a couple people have mentioned his name, but he has been mentioned in connection to the Bucks. Quinnen Williams could get sent or picked by the Bucks if a few things fall their way, and that's a guy that, if he's there, I think the Bucks will take. It's a matter of if he's there or not. Montez Sweat, the Mississippi State defensive end. Of course, he had a little bit of a medical issue with his heart that doesn't appear to be terribly serious. Obviously, it's a heart thing, but as heart things go, it shouldn't affect him too much, and it doesn't look like he's going to fall too far in the draft because of it. I even saw Jonah Williams, the Alabama offensive tackle, who, again, I would love to have because the Bucs need offensive line help in a big way, and yet it doesn't seem likely to me the Bucs would go that direction in the first round. I could see maybe in the second or third round, but Jonah Williams could be, even though he projects maybe as a tackle long-term, his arms are a little bit shorter, so they say. I haven't measured him myself, but they're a little bit shorter than what you'd normally see in a tackle, and he could play a guard. He could be that right guard that the Bucs need. Obviously, they're looking for a stopgap with Caleb Benenock not exactly working out last year, but instead of a stopgap, it could be this guy. Again, I don't think the Bucs will do that, but don't underestimate the need up front. Even Devin Bush, Michigan linebacker, Cleveland Farrell. I mean, again, eight names plus have been mocked to the Bucs, and when you look at the draft, and we say it every week, obviously it'll come down to what happens with the quarterbacks with Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray and all these guys, and if they go anywhere in the top four, then that just pushes people down that the Bucs need because certainly they're not taking quarterbacks. But even if nobody took a quarterback in the first four picks and a bunch of good players got taken that the Bucs maybe were looking at on the defensive side of the ball, that could be okay too because if those two quarterbacks or even if one of them is available when the Bucs are picking at five, there's a whole bunch of teams back there in the teens and 20s with a hard-on for a quarterback that would love to give the Bucs something to move up, or even, you know, like people mentioned the Bengals at 11 or whatever it is they are, that would love to move up, take the Bucs pick, give the Bucs some real good stuff, and the Bucs would only be moving down four or five spots or, you know, six or seven spots. And if that happened, I'd be fine with it because they'd be getting an extra player in the top couple of rounds probably to move up. And then they'd also be able to take probably still one of those eight names I just read to you. I mean, there's one good thing about having such a wide variety of names being mocked to you, quote unquote. And, you know, the Bucs obviously have their own ideas about which of those names are actual viable candidates for them to draft and which they don't really believe are players that they're interested in. But, you know, you can go down a few picks and you probably still get one of them. You probably have a chance to get more than one of them whenever your pick comes up, unless you trade out of the first round completely, which they don't need to do. So I think the Bucs are in a good position this way. If you look at, you know, how to allocate your resources, and Thomas Bassinger wrote a column in the Tampa Bay Times this week, and he does one every week about the draft, and it was about, you know, looking at the Patriots blueprint and how they allocate a smaller percentage of their salary cap to edge rushers than almost anybody in the league, and they continue to do that over the years. The last four times the Patriots have appeared in the Super Bowl, not just the wins, but just the last four times they've been to the Super Bowl, those four teams, none of them ranked higher than 23rd in the league in percentage of cap space allocated to edge rushers. And last year's Super Bowl champion team was 30th. They only had 5.7% of their money tied to edge rushers, whereas they spend most of the money on the secondary, and then whatever's left over, they go to work on the edge guys up front. And then you look at teams like the Bucs, who last year were 4th in the NFL in percentage of money tied to edge rushers at 20.4%. In 2019, they'll be 3rd, and a big chunk of that is, of course, the $14.9 million that Jason Pierre-Paul is due to make. And I maintain, and you know, we don't know what's happening with Gerald McCoy yet either. I mean, supposedly his days are numbered here, and the timing of when a trade could work out is the only issue. And maybe it happens on draft day. Maybe that's part of whatever happens with the Bucs, or maybe it's after the draft when teams realize, oh, we didn't get the help up front we needed in the draft, so now we got to move to, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces that settle into place once the draft's over. But there is one way they could still keep McCoy, and that's if they move JPP instead. And I still would, I support that. If that, I don't think that's going to happen, but that's too much money for a guy who I believe is going to regress to the mean heavily this coming season. We talked about a few weeks ago how, you know, for all the sacks he had, his actual pressure rate, the amount of time he got pressure on the QB, whether it converted into a sack or not, just hurries and knockdowns, all that stuff, was pretty mediocre, pretty low. He had a very high rate of conversion for his sacks when he did get pressures, but the overall pressures weren't there. And when you look at a year like that, it's just like baseball. When a guy that's a 250 career hitter hits 325 one year, he's probably going to go back closer to 250 and maybe even below it, and it'll even out. And I think with Jason Pierre-Paul, I don't think he'll get anywhere in the ballpark of even 10 sacks this coming season. I hope I'm wrong about that. I mean, I'm not like trying to say he shouldn't get this many sacks. I mean, he should get as many sacks as he can. But again, the Bucs tie a lot of money into him and as a whole to edge rushers and get so little out of it. They had the lowest pressure rate in the league last year, or one of the lowest. And for all the hoopla about the free agency bonanza last season with what they did, and they transformed their front seven, didn't get them anything. And the, one of the reasons, and we always talk about the Patriots, because they're obviously the blueprint that 31 other teams would like to follow. But if there were 31 other teams all being able to do it, then it wouldn't be special. So the Patriots do something better than everybody else, and they have other reasons too. But the point is, you know, if you look at the money you have to spend, how much production per dollar are you going to get no matter what? The Bucs secondary, and this goes the other side of it, the Bucs secondary, 32nd in the league as far as how much money they have tied to it. They only allot 7.2% of their salary cap to the secondary. The Patriots, as you might imagine, are the flip side of that. They are at nearly a quarter of their salary cap to the secondary. That's second only to the Ravens. And again, it makes sense. I mean, the reason, and Bassinger does a good job pointing this out in the article, you know, edge rushers nowadays, I mean, there's nothing that can impact the game when you can get there like a huge sack or a sack fumble or something like that. But quarterbacks and offenses in general are going quicker now. Quarterbacks are getting the ball out. It's not the seven-step drop back type deal that it used to be where you could go tee off on these guys. It's just hard to have an impact on the edge. Even, you know, and look, I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul had 12 and a half sacks last year, and still overall, the impact just wasn't as great as we hoped it would be. I'm not picking on him. It makes it sound like I'm picking on him because the Bucs' pass rush overall wasn't good, and he was the best one, so it's his. No, he was the best one, so I'm saying the other guys, but I'm saying even when you have what they got from all those guys, it ultimately was not enough to really make much of a difference, and our defense in general was lit up. And now you go into this season with your four main secondary guys are going to be Hargraves, who, again, we think should be better with the new system and being able to roll up and play press man coverage like he wants to do instead of what he was doing under Mike Smith. Carlton Davis had a rough go of it as a rookie. He's a rookie. I mean, that's understandable, and he's, I think, a good player. I think he'll improve a lot this year, but we don't know that. And then at safety, Justin Evans, who's, you know, he's had big swings. He's made an impact at times. He's also had a rough go of it at times. MJ Stewart's converting to safety. Maybe he'll be better than he was at corner. You know, he's got the size for it, all that stuff. But you don't have like a defined, like, these four guys are our studs and we're going to battle with the. There's all, you know, as Bassinger says, they're all question marks. And yet that's probably, not probably, it is the most important unit on the field. And so, you know, again, these are just things that, they're not secrets. They're not things that, oh, how do they do it? You know, you can see exactly what the teams that are successful do. And it's not a coincidence that more often than not, when you see the things that successful teams do, and then you compare it to the Bucs, you realize, oh, wait, the Bucs did almost literally the exact opposite of that. Now it makes sense. And speaking of seven-step drops, by the way, Jameis Winston, I think, will be taking more of those this year. And I was watching, and this rarely happens, but I was just flipping channels the other night, and they just happened to be talking about the Bucs on NFL Network, and it was, or it might have been ESPN. I think it was ESPN because it was the Hasselbeck brothers. And they were talking about Winston, you know, the whole weight thing, which Winston talked this week and said he played at 245 last year, so he's only going up 5 pounds from last year. Forget about what the listed weights are and everything like that, and that he's added 5 pounds of muscle. But one of the reasons it seems like they'll be doing this, and the Hasselbeck brothers were pointing this out, is that Bruce Arians plans, and Byron Leftwich plans, to have Jameis Winston dropping back more, you know, sticking a back foot in the ground, stepping up in the pocket, and you know, throwing darts and throwing downfield. And when you do that, you're going to take a few more hits. You know, so the Bucs might be going counter to what you see a lot of, or what you've seen a lot of in the past with them. And so he wants to put on a little more muscle just to beef up, to be ready for that. And if they can get the protection to do that, that'd be great. Again, the offensive line, I mean, I've said this every week. We haven't changed anything, and I don't think it was very good. So it wasn't very good, and what have we done? We've poured big money into guys that were already here, like Donovan Smith and, you know, DeMar Dotson, not as much money, but DeMar Dotson got a new deal on the right side, of course, Jensen and Marpet. And, you know, you ask me about any one of those guys, and I don't have terrible things to say, and yet as a unit, very underwhelming last year. And for all the talk about the defense, and the defense obviously was the biggest problem, but I think the offensive line let the Bucs down a ton last year, both Jameis Winston and Peyton Barber. So there's no names that are different there, just more money. And now we're expecting them to be better, and we're hoping they'll be better. So this goes back to what I'm saying, where basically the Bucs have multiple glaring needs, and you can't pick them all with one pick, no matter how high the pick is. I mean, I don't care if it's the first overall pick. Teams have tried it before. You can't pick more than one guy. Like, they won't let you do that. You still have to pick just one of them. Even though it gets to be your choice, it can only be one person. But you look at offensive line, need. You look up front, yeah, sure, need. Secondary, like we just talked about, need. And if they traded down, you know, you talk about the top corners in this draft. You don't hear any of their names that much as far as like top five picks. You hear all about the rush guys. You hear all about the quarterbacks if it comes to that. You know, Greedy Williams is projected to go still first round, but, you know, a little bit lower, maybe closer to, you know, the high single digits or 10. DeAndre Baker from Georgia, Washington's Byron Murphy, there's the guy from Temple, Rock Ya-Sin. I mean, there's a bunch of them, and they're good, and none of them are projected to be high picks. Now, is that because, think about this, is that because they're not as good as the rush guys? No. The thing is, we don't know who. Whoever ends up being the best corner out of this group of names, you can go look it up if you want, just drop Google top cornerbacks 2019 NFL draft. You can do it for any position. If you take the list of names and that top 5 or 10 names that comes up on your screen when you do that, whoever the best two of those guys end up being, we don't know who they are, but whoever the best two of those guys end up being may well be much more valuable than whoever the best two of the edge guys or the upfront guys end up being. So even though that position as a whole, no one guy's being rated as highly, it's just because they're unknowns more so than what we consider to be more knowns, although, again, nobody knows anything. But if you told me right now, without putting the name on it, just in general, I could have the best eventual corner in this draft or the best eventual rusher in this draft, I'd choose the best eventual corner right away. So you could get that picking 10th or 11th or 12th or 13th or 15th. You don't have to be picking 5th to do that. So I hope that's what the Bucs are thinking. And again, they don't get to just choose to trade down. There have to be offers, and it has to do with how things line up. But when you have as many needs as the Bucs do, man, get an extra second rounder, move down, get a stud corner, stud whatever, offensive line, I don't care. Or you can still get one of the rush guys because there's a million of them. And now you've got an extra pick to get another guy. I mean, the Bucs need too much. And I almost would, I don't want to say it would be a wasted pick to stay at 5 because you get a great player at 5. And if they do, I'll be happy. But man, if you could get the same or even a comparable guy and get more picks or another big pick, to me, that's the way. That's always, to me, the way to go. But especially in the Bucs situation when they are in as much need in as many different spots as they are. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. Twitter, you can find me at BobbyGameDay. Like I was saying, the schedule will be coming out soon. We do have a preseason schedule, though, so that's very exciting as the Bucs will take on the Steelers to open things up on the road. They'll go up to Pittsburgh, then at home, two in a row, the Dolphins and the Browns, and then the always fun fourth preseason game on a Thursday night will be in Dallas, and that's usually on the opening night of college football season as well, so there's always a lot going on that night, but those are four teams, none of which the Bucs will play during the regular season. And that schedule, again, should be coming out in a couple of weeks, maybe the week before, like the Monday before the draft, which is on a Thursday. Sounds good. But looking at the preseason schedule, you always mainly just look at the third game because that's the game where the starters play the most. And that'll be the Browns. And that could be an interesting one with Baker Mayfield coming into Tampa and both he and Jameis Winston probably playing the entire first half and maybe even a little bit of the second half there. I'm excited as always, and we'll do more about it when it comes out. But the schedule's always an exciting thing for me. I mean, I always talk about how, you know, when I was a kid, and when I was a kid, it was always a surprise, right? Like, I remember just growing up, my family always got both newspapers, the St. Pete Times and the Tampa Tribune. And one day you just go get the paper in the morning, and then the Bucks schedule would be in there. Like, there was no Twitter, like, oh, hey, it's going to happen later on. There was no leaks, like, oh, they're going to play this team in week five. I remember last year I had some buddies that wanted to go to Buffalo to see the Bucks, and one of them knew a guy with the NFL. And so he convinced the guy with the NFL, and the guy with the NFL didn't want to get in trouble. Like, he was really, like, worried about this, but they wanted to plan their trip to Buffalo. So he said, hey, just tell me the day of the Bucks Buffalo game. Don't tell me anything else about the schedule. Just tell me the day of the Bucks at Buffalo, and I'll shut up and leave you alone. And the guy's like, okay, it's, you know, whatever it was, October 21st. Okay, thanks. And so then he went and made his travel plans for that one, knowing it was going to be that week, and got a little bit of a jump on everybody else. Stuff like that. You know, back then, it was in the paper that day. And it was always so exciting to see, oh, what primetime games are we going to get? Did we get, you know, we never got Monday Night Football at all through the late 80s and early 90s when I was growing up. But, you know, maybe we got that one TNT Sunday Nitro kickoff. Remember that, when they had half the season on TNT and half of it on ESPN? Or maybe we got the Sunday night game. Maybe we'd get a Monday night game, but never, you know, actually happened until I think I was a freshman in college was the first one after that long drought of losing. And man, it was so exciting. Like, it always got me excited. I'd slap it on the fridge. I'd get out my scissors, my Fisher-Price scissors, and I'd go to that newspaper. I'd cut that thing right out of the paper, magnet, boom, right on top of the fridge in April. And it would stay up there the entire year, basically till New Year's, till the end of the season. So I'm looking forward to that a great deal. And this year, again, the Bucks didn't give the league much reason to put them in prime time. Of course, now we've got Thursday night football, and that's something that everybody gets one of usually. But, you know, just hoping maybe we get lucky and have a home Monday nighter. It was fun last year, even though the result didn't work out, to have that Pittsburgh game here. And, of course, Sunday night football, also a lot of fun. And we haven't hosted one of those, and, man, it's been a long time. I remember playing at Dallas a couple years ago on Sunday night, but when's the last one that was in Tampa? I can't remember, and I don't think it'll happen this year either. But looking at those four, Steelers, Dolphins, Browns, and Cowboys, we'll get actual dates for the middle two games as they get a little closer to the regular season schedule being released. But, you know, they give you a window for those. Sometimes those end up on national TV as well. But either way, we'll just have to wait and see. In the meantime, there was one coaching move. I don't even know if you want to call it a coaching move or not, but the Bucks did make a move. And I thought it was interesting. They signed a former NFL official, Larry Rose, as an officiating consultant for Bruce Arians. So what they did here, it's a good idea when you have unlimited resources. They got an ex-NFL referee. He's going to help out with Arians on the sideline on game days, when to challenge, things about rules and things like that. And again, it's not like in college where there's a limit of how many people can do this or that, or, I mean, you can do whatever you want. I don't know how hard it is to get one of these guys for every team, but let me tell you, like, these coaches, you know, a lot of times we're all sitting at home and we're watching the game on TV and we can't understand how a coach didn't do this or didn't do that, or how did he, you know, bumble this or that. There's a lot going on. I've never been a head coach. I mean, I've been an assistant coach at the high school level. But there's a lot going on. Like Bobby Bowden used to say, like, it ain't a library down there, and it's easy to miss stuff. I think it's important, and this is kind of the role I served when I was a coach. It's important to have somebody who's just dealing with the overall game situation stuff. You know, coaches are thinking X's and O's. They're looking at coverages. If you're a play caller, you got a million things you're worried about. Arians isn't going to call plays, but you got a lot of things you're thinking of. So it's important to have one guy who can just watch the game standing next to you, almost the way somebody does at home, and just think of the situational stuff while you do all the other more detailed stuff. And when I coached in high school, my uncle, Mike Fenton, he was the head coach at Jefferson High School for a number of years. We won a state championship in 2010. That year, I was an assistant coach just on JV, just kind of helping out. But on Friday nights for the varsity game, I'd be next to my uncle Mike. And, you know, this helped him. I mean, I can tell you this helped him. And he'd be there, you know, doing, and he didn't call the plays all the time, but every time there'd be a play would end, before they even got up from the pile, I'd be like, all right, second and six from the 34. You know, I'd just tell every time. Or if somebody else was calling plays, I'd tell them. it helps to know that instead of trying to sit on your tiptoes and look, oh, where they spot. You got to start thinking about calling the next play. So I'd say, okay, hey, second and six from the 34. Okay, in the final couple minutes of a half, I'd say, hey, you got two timeouts here. You want to think about using one if this play results and the clock's still running. If it's a stop clock, we can hang on. Just little stuff that seems obvious. I'd always be in his ear just chirping. Here's what you do next. Here's what you do next. Nothing expert. Like, I didn't have to be a, you know, you don't have to be a savant to do this stuff, but just stuff that it's easy to just miss if you end up, you know, being in the spot where you're trying to make a million decisions. You know, there'd be like a big interception. Like, we'd return an interception 80 yards and get tackled at the 8. Everybody's running up and down the sidelines, screaming and yelling. The band's playing. And I'd be real calm. I'd be right next to him. All right, you got first and goal from the 8 here. That even before the referees got down there and spotted the ball. Just stuff like that helps. So this guy, Larry Rose, he can do things like that. And I think every team should have not just an official, but a person who helps the coach doing things like that, because you see so many things get missed and you wonder why. And I really just think the coaches, and football is so, so controlled, more than any other sport besides maybe basketball, where they call a timeout every other possession in the final couple minutes and draw this up and that up. But, you know, it's rigid. It's you're diagramming, you're talking, you've got a plan for every play. It's very rarely just, oh, let's just cut them loose, let them go play. You know, so when you're doing all that as a coach, you need somebody else who can tell you, hey, get ready to call a timeout here, or hey, you don't have a timeout here, get ready to call a play here the minute this play ends, no matter what the result. You know, just little stuff like that can help. So again, same thing with challenges. These coaches, when you're on a football sideline, you can't see anything, okay? I mean, it's an awesome view, like, to be right near where the hits are happening, but a play happens on the other side of the field. Stuff we see on TV, we don't know. So you get the coaches up in the booth, and they're on headsets, but you need a referee. I think that definitely helps to be able to say, okay, they think we should challenge upstairs. I don't think we should, because as a referee, I can tell you this probably isn't going to be worth it. They're not going to overturn it, or the other way around. So Larry Rose is that guy for the Buccaneers. Good to see Bruce Arians just doing the little things here as he continues to assemble his staff, and the Bucs have done quite a bit, both with the staff and personnel-wise, obviously, since free agency got going. The past couple weeks, there hasn't been much, although they've had a couple of AAF guys they've signed that are just people that can compete for jobs in camp after the AAF folded, unfortunately. And so that leaves us where we are, waiting for the draft in 2 weeks. One other thing I wanted to mention, and I won't go on a whole harangue today because I probably do it too often, but Nike and the Jets did collaborate on new uniforms, and now the Jets have new uniforms, even though they did not need them, which is usually the case. But even if you were going to change them, because I like the idea of the Jets going back to green helmets, there's too many white helmets in the AFC East, and I could get with that. And actually, the helmet they came up with isn't bad, but the uniforms, as is per usual with Nike, are just completely over the top. And they're not as bad as like the Bucks. I mean, the Jets are lucky they didn't get done to them what the Bucks got done to them. But again, the Jets didn't get anything done to them because they have to approve it. And these owners and these, you know, Nike people, I don't understand how over and over and over again, every single time one of these things happens, it is somehow worse than it was before. And it's funny because, like, I follow a few Twitter accounts like Super 70 Sports, and there's like an NFL helmet, a lot of uniform themed accounts, and like, you know, a 70s NFL account and all that. And one of the guys tweeted the other day, and he said, he put some pictures up, and he's like, I'm going through some of these pictures here, and literally not a single NFL team has better uniforms now than it did in like 1990 or 1985 or something like that. And it's true. Like, the Jets, if they had just gone back to green helmets, green pants for with the white jerseys and white pants with the green jerseys, or even all white, you know, and the green helmets and just kept a basic striping pattern, it would have been fine. But no, we're Nike. We got to have trapezoidal, you know, rhombuses on the pants, and we got to have these all, you know, always asymmetrical stripes and lines and weird angle. You know, that's new age, baby. That's what they'll try and tell you, which it's not new age at all. It's just ugly. Just like normal striping isn't old school. It's just good looking. People have this old school, new school mentality, like, oh, we have to do something new school. There's no schools. There's just what looks good and what doesn't. So the Jets don't look very good. But again, considering what the Bucks look like, I guess it could have been a lot worse. And I look forward. I really think there's momentum going for the Bucks to fix something going into next season. But as it is for now, We've got my son Wade here, by the way, who's with me recording today. You might have heard his little call. Hey, Wade, you can say hello to everybody on JoeBucksFan.com. You want to say hello?
Hello.
They're good. Say hello, everybody. Say go Bucks.
Hello, everybody. Go Bucks.
All right. So he's fired up for the season. I'm fired up for the season. He's 7, and I'm planning on taking him to a lot of games this coming season. And you can do that, too, if you need a new car, like I told you before on the show. Bill Curry Ford, go check him out. A mile north of Dale May, or a mile north of Raymond James on Dale Mabry, because Sean Sullivan and crew over there right now are letting you have, and I mean have, two, not tickets to a game, okay? Two Bucks season tickets when you buy a car. That's it. Not when you buy this certain model of, oh, I'm going to get the, when you go over there and buy a car between now and the draft, okay, they're going to give you two Bucks season tickets along with it. Which is insane. I mean, again, if you're looking at possibly getting a car in the next couple of weeks, and you're, again, a fan, if you are, you're listening to this show, I imagine you're a fan, you got a chance here to go get one thing done and get the other thing done without even paying extra for it. They're going to give you $2 season tickets if you buy a car. It's a great parlay. Check out the website, BillCurryFord.com, or just go in person to Bill Curry Ford a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. And you can check them out there. So thanks to them. Thanks to the Joes for hosting this show on their website as they do every week. I am honored to be able to get in front of all of you. The single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere on the internet, JoeBucksFan.com. And for me to be associated with it is a privilege each and every week. Wade is telling me he wants to say one more thing. Wade, what do you want to say, buddy? Go ahead.
Remember, we got a new coach. Woo!
So even he's, I didn't tell him to say that. He's fired up about Bruce Arians. And you know what I'm fired up about is the draft. So next week will be our second to last draft show. Of course, we'll have a show on draft day, kind of a pregame. Oh, I forgot about the Bucks Uncensored Draft Party, which I know you've probably heard about if you're anywhere on this site. But next, or 2 weeks from today, I'm recording on Thursday, the Bucks Uncensored Draft Party is going to be incredible. Same place as last year, Buffalo Wild Wings on Dale Mabry, South Dale Mabry. In fact, it's right across from Britton Plaza, just south of Euclid and north of Gandy. So it's really easy to find. And there's, you know, Lowe's across the street. There's Britton Plaza across the street. There's a Crunch Fitness. It's a very easy place to find. It's going to be inside, outside. There's going to be a free party. There's going to be bars both in and out. There's going to be a buffet if you want to go for the $25 buffet. It's going to be an incredible buffet. There's going to be special guests. Last year, Derek Brooks showed up. I'm hearing that's possible again, as well as some other names. And it's just a general gathering of all the best of Bucks fandom, if I might say so myself. So if you have a chance to get over there, it's going to be a lot of fun. The Joes will be there, the Sage, Ira Kaufman, of course, Justin, who has done a phenomenal job putting this thing on the past few years, and it's getting bigger and better every year. So go check that out, and you can get all the information at JoeBucksFan.com if you want to do that as well. One other thing I've been working on. Oh, there it is. You know, I got some requests, and there's a commercial for like some detergent out for it now. But all you old schoolers, remember, if you used to listen to the Free Stretch on the radio here in this town, that this was how I closed out every show. And on the podcast, I haven't had it lately. And I decided finally, you know what? I don't know what I've been doing all this time. There's no reason that everybody shouldn't be back on the show. So from now on, we are closing it out like we always have. Once again, thanks to all of you. Thanks to the Joes. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to my son, Wade. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch for Masters weekend. Hey, enjoy the one of the best sports weekends of the year. You get the Masters, Lightning playoff hockey. You got, of course, everything else going on with the Rays playing well. It's a really fun time of year. I'll be back next Thursday. Be safe. Have fun this weekend and wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.
And see ya.